I just want to say two things. As a lifelong Mariners fan and a man of faith, I am grateful for the Seattle Mariners. You guys realize they're on the precipice of making, becoming the first division leaders and winners in almost 20-some years. I have lived long and suffered much as a Mariners fan. And so last night, I confess to you, my son and I were watching the Apple Cup, the Washington State Washington Cougars and the Huskies, and at the same time, I had the Mariners game on. I was doing double duty, trying to see what was going on. So anyway, I'm excited, and I'm also excited that a certain football team won the Apple Cup yesterday. I don't want to mention them by name, because we don't want division in the house of the Lord, but good to have you here today. Well, this morning we're going to continue our series we started last week called DNA. I hope if you were with us, you heard a little bit about it. If you weren't, I want to tell you a little bit about what we talked about last week, DNA. Specifically, and so we have an idea, DNA is the genetic information inside of people that make us who we are. Okay, it defines our physical attributes. It tells us what our eye color will be, what our skin color will be. It tells us about our ethnicity and our gender. All our DNA determines those things for us. DNA also tells us where we're from, a little bit about our lineage. You know, the DNA is passed down generation to generation, genetically. So DNA is at the center of physical aspect of being a human being. Now, from there, we discussed a little bit about when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we come into fellowship with him, the Bible says that we are made new, that we are new creations. And as that happens, we have a new spiritual DNA that tells us, really, basically, who we are. We are a people who have been redeemed by God, but it also tells us who do we belong to. Who do we belong to, church? Jesus Christ. He is the center now of our DNA as we become new creations in him. John 3:3 says, unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone and the new life has come. If you have new life in Jesus, would you say amen? Amen. We are new. Our DNA, our spiritual DNA now is centered in Jesus. We are made new in him. Who we are changes over time as we grow and as we mature spiritually. We are being transformed from the very center of our core. It's an inward change that's working its way out in our lives. In the same way, we have this DNA as a church. See, a church is more than just a building with walls. We are the church. People are the church. That's you and that's me. Jesus is the center of who we are and why we exist as a church. And his mission was laid out when he came to the earth. We see that in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that says that Jesus came to seek and to save those who were spiritually lost. And if that was Jesus' mission here on earth, and if that's Jesus' mission around the world, it needs to be our mission as well. Amen? That was his mission, and it's the mission of the church. Now, as Pastor Dan was just saying just a moment ago, we at Wenatchee First Assembly, ultimately, our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus. That's the overarching mission of our church. And we do that by fulfilling two biblical mandates. We talked about those last week. The Great Command and the Great Commission. We love God, we love others, and we make disciples. That's all a part. It's encapsulating that mission of helping people find and follow Jesus. So that's just a quick recap of what we talked about last week in mission and vision here at Wenatchee First. But now what I want to do is I want us to pivot and place our attention on what our core values are as a church. Core values are beliefs and guiding principles that lead the decision-making of our church, and they build our culture of ministry. See, these values we have shape everything that we do as a church. They help us decide what's truly important and what matters. And they're the compass that help guide us in our ministries. As I reflect on the past 25 years that I've been able to be a part of this great church, as I think back in this time, in this space, and being a part of this congregation, I recognize 8 core values that are a part of Wenatchee First. And I think many of you will recognize these as well. But before we jump into these 8, and there's 8 this morning, I'm not going to apologize. 8 core values we're going to talk about. But before we do that, can we just change your position? Let's stand together and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we stand in your presence, we stand in awe of a God whose love was so great for us that you would send your son Jesus on the mission that began in the Garden of Eden to reconcile mankind into yourself. Lord, we stand as testimony of your saving power. You've called us out of darkness into light. And we can stand here today giving testimony of the fact that you have changed us. You've given us hope. You give us a future to look forward to, God, and you give us a mission to be a part of. I pray, Lord, as we talk through these things today, this would not just merely be academic, though we need to walk through things as we talk about our vision and the things you've called us to, but Lord, that these would be things that will help drive us as we think about, Lord, our ministry and the things that we will give ourselves to. We only have so many resources before us, God, and we want to make sure that we're making the best of what we have. God, there's no limit to your supply. But Lord, we will give what we can and we will take what you have blessed us with. And may we use it for the glory of God, not only here in Wenatchee, but for the glory of God around the world. Thank you that you would see us as worthy enough to give your son on our behalf. And also, God, that you would call us to be a part of your kingdom work. I pray your blessing on these next moments as we share this morning. We just give you thanks and honor for being a good God, a loving God, a gracious God, and a God who meets us here today. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. All right, you ready? You got your seatbelts on? I don't want this to be too academic, and I want us to just get into this, but let's start with point number 1, which is our first core value here at Wenatchee First Assembly. It's biblical authority. Biblical authority. The Bible isn't just some historical book that was written thousands of years ago. Some people see the Bible as that, but we know that it's much more than that. We believe that it is the inspired, authoritative Word of God, and it's the foundation of our faith and of our life. That is the Scriptures. They are the ultimate guide for us in truth, in teaching, in correction, and in living. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You can write that down in your notes. I know there's not a lot of space on the back of your program, but you can just write down some of these verses today. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says this, "All Scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do, or teaches us what to do is what is right. God uses it to prepare and to equip his people to do every good work." Now, the reason that we believe that the Scriptures are the authoritative Word of God is because they come from God himself. He is, the Word originates with him. And since he is the author of Scripture, its teachings are not subject to anyone's opinion, and it's not subject to any social trends that are happening in our world today. Truth is never subject to opinion. It is truth. When the Bible speaks on moral issues, such as love and forgiveness and justice, it does so from a divine perspective, giving us the foundation that we should be building our lives upon. Therefore, we submit to the authority of Scripture in all things. Would you say the word all? All. We submit in all things to the authority of Scripture in our lives. Because Jesus revealed himself through the written word, which we just read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he's also revealed himself through Jesus, the living word, in John chapter 1. We place Jesus and the Bible at the center of everything we do here at Wenatchee First Assembly. It's at the center. Our doctrine and our beliefs come directly from Scripture. Every sermon and message is based on and derived from the Word of God. Our life group teachings and curriculum are built on the foundation of Scripture. Pastor Annie is intentionally engaging children with the Bible this morning as she's meeting with them. On Sunday mornings in Kids Life and also on Wednesday night at our kids groups, the kids club, she is having them physically holding the Bible so that they will engage in the Word of God, so that they can know the God of the Bible. Even she was talking about our preschoolers on Wednesday night. She wants them to be able to hold. They're not reading the Bible, but she wants them to become familiar with the Bible so that as they begin to grow and to hear about the Lord, they will be able to engage the God of the Scriptures. In fact, for the last 13 years, the curriculum that our Kids Life has been using on Sunday morning is called the Bible Project. And here's the thing that's beautiful about this curriculum. When kids come in starting at kindergarten and they go through fifth grade, if they begin in kinder and they go through fifth grade, through that curriculum, by the end of that fifth grade year, they would have gone through the Bible twice in those 6 years, engaging them in the Word of God. Friends, part of our mission here is to equip and to encourage everyone to read, to understand, and to engage the Bible daily in our lives. Psalm 119, verse 105, you might have heard this before. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." There's a reason why we have God's word as the first core value here in this list of eight, because all of our other core values flow right from that. It begins with the authoritative word of God. Amen? Number two, our second core value that I've seen in the life of our church over these last 25 years is prayer. We believe in the power and the necessity of prayer. We believe in both. Both corporately and personal prayer are central to our relationship with God. And it's also central to everything we do as a church. When we look back at the beginning of the New Testament church in the book of Acts, consider some of these facts. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it tells us that the very first thing that the disciples did after Jesus ascended to heaven is they got together and they began to pray. Then, following Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, when the church began to explode with growth, listen to what those first believers began to commit themselves to. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. These new believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. But the priority of prayer doesn't stop there. Once the early church began to continue to grow and grow and grow, and these mission journeys were going, they realized that the disciples themselves could only do so much. And so they began to raise up deacons, people who could come and help start other ministries to minister to the needs of the people, so that the disciples could commit themselves to two things: prayer and declaring the word of God. They raised up these leaders so that way they could devote themselves to those two things. Acts chapter 6, verse 4 tells that story of what the needs were and how the needs could be met as the deacons were raised, but yet the disciples could give themselves to prayer and the declaration of the word. I think it's safe to say that prayer was a core value of the church from its inception. Prayer was also a priority in the life of Jesus. He was always in conversation and communication with the Father. And from what we know in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know that Jesus kept a regular rhythm of prayer to his life. And if Jesus had prayer as a foundational part of his life as God's Son, then I think we too should value and also have a foundational attitude and heart for prayer as well. As we pray, we are opening up our hearts to him, and he is able to work in and through us. Don't miss this, friends. God moves through the prayers of his people, and that prayer is how he aligns us with his will. It begins in prayer. Nothing of eternal value happens without it. Every Monday, we have a prayer guide that goes out to over 60 people here at Wenatchee First. We have requests that come in. We read requests on Sundays. We have others that come in through the week. And there's a prayer guide that goes out every Monday to over 60 people. And they intercede throughout the week over those needs. If you receive that guide, thank you for praying. Thank you for interceding. If you would like to be a part of receiving that prayer guide weekly, you can go to info@wfa.church and we will add you to that. It comes out as an email, but we are also able to send hard copies as well to be a people of prayer, praying for the needs of others and interceding. Also, if you want to know, if you have a prayer request, you can always go and give us an email. You can go to prayer@wfa.church and submit a prayer request through that, and that'll come to the office, and we will add you to our prayer guide as well. You can also text. You can text to this number, 888-969-9717. Before service, we have slides that are going of announcements, and that number is on there. And so these are different ways people can turn in prayer requests. We intentionally put prayer in as a part of our Sunday morning worship services as well, taking time during worship to pray for needs and pray for one another. And at the end of a message, many times we'll give the invitation to have just a time of prayer where these altars are open to come and engage the Lord. I don't know about you, but when God moves in my heart, when I hear the word of the Lord and I know that he's stirring things inside me and doing things, I know that I need to respond now. If I don't, I say, oh Lord, I know you're speaking to my heart, but you know what? I've got a lot of things going on this afternoon. This week I'll find some time and we'll have a conversation. When really, we're in the moment, we're here, the atmosphere is set where we can engage in prayer with the Lord. And so that's why you'll hear me say many times, you know, let's respond to the Lord in prayer this morning. These altars are always open for prayer because we see the need for us to have that connection with the Lord. And so that's why we build those things intentionally into our services. Our pastoral staff, we gather weekly to pray for one another, to pray for the church. Every weekday when we're in the office, we begin with devotions together and we pray for you. Nothing of eternal value happens without prayer, friends. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, never stop praying. Mark 11:17, Jesus said, my house will be called a house of what? Prayer. Do you think prayer is a core value? Lord, help us to be a people who are called by your name, who will value prayer the way that you valued it, your communion with the Father. Lord, help us be a people that we be totally dependent upon that life-giving relationship, that we would not forsake seeking you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let us be a church who values prayer, interceding for one another, encouraging one another, knowing that we have people praying for us. Lord, we want to pray for our missionaries and the works going around in the world. Father, let us be a people who don't just say that we pray, but a people who are active in our prayers. God, it's nothing magical other than we are connecting with an eternal God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever ask, imagine, or think. God, help us to be a people of prayer. Amen. Core value number 3, spiritual development. Spiritual development, you might want to call it discipleship, you want to call it, but spiritual development. At Wenatchee First Assembly, we want people to encounter a life-changing relationship with Jesus, growing in their knowledge of God and maturing in their Christian faith. Spiritual growth is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. If you want a technical term, it's called sanctification. When we place our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins the process of making us more like him, conforming us more into the image of Jesus. Spiritual development isn't just one of those one-time things that happens in our life. All of a sudden, we're just mature in the Lord and that's what, no, it's a lifelong process, continuous. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, Paul instructs us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This transformation involves an alignment of our thoughts and our actions and the desires that we have, gets them in alignment with God's will. And it's about becoming more like Jesus daily. The Bible often speaks about spiritual growth and spiritual development. Hebrews chapter 5, listen to this, verses 13 and 17. It's not on the screen. But listen, it says, "For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong." So as believers, we are called to move from milk to meat, maturing from understanding maybe simple truths or simple things of the faith to maturing to know the difference between right and wrong. Paul regularly prayed that the church would grow in wisdom and understanding so that they could bear fruit in their lives. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Listen. "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." We are being very intentional here at Wenatchee First in creating opportunities for spiritual growth and spiritual development in our lives. This past week, we had over 60 people involved in life groups, including our Wednesday night youth and our Wednesday night kids club. Over 60 engaged. And our focus is this, friends: forward movement, growth to maturity. That's what we want to see. And we want to see tangible ways that we can look at ourselves, hey, how am I growing in Christ? How is my life being forwarded? What is God doing in me? So we can look at those things and we can see that measured growth as we move forward in growing into maturity. And that comes through biblical training like we just read in Hebrews chapter 5 and with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that through the church, God equips his people. Ephesians 4, 12 through 15. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by the wind of every new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us into lies that are so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. As we move forward in this next chapter in the life of Wenatchee First Assembly, spiritual growth, spiritual development will be a core value that will help guide our planning and decision-making when it comes to that vision, that mission God has called us to. And that flows right into our fourth core value today is spirit empowerment. Spiritual empowerment is a supernatural power and ability that the Holy Spirit gives to believers so that way we can live godly lives, that we can be an effective witness of who Christ is, and that we can fulfill God's will and purpose here on earth. Jesus' entire ministry was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It began with his miracle conception and birth. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We see that at his baptism. When John baptized him and came out of the water, it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Following that, the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness where he would be tempted. Jesus was spirit empowered as he proclaimed the good news as he drove out demons, as he healed the sick, as he ministered to the multitudes. And it was the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. After Jesus' resurrection, he told his disciples to return to Jerusalem and to wait for the gift that the Father had promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We read this a couple weeks ago talking about Peter. Jesus told them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." 10 days later, the disciples, they waited and they prayed in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. Every single person who was there received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this empowerment gave the disciples the boldness to proclaim the good news of Jesus. It gave them the ability to teach and to preach and perform miracles as the early church was being built. And I'll just pause for just a moment and say this. People today believe that the Holy Spirit was only poured out for the New Testament church to get its wheels going, and then God removed it. No way, not at all. God has poured out his Spirit, and it is still viable today. We are a Pentecostal people, and we believe that. 2,000 years later, this same Spirit is available and is at work in us today. Not only does he lead us into salvation, but he empowers us to live out our faith, just as we see on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is actively working in our lives. He is the chief change agent in us, helping us to grow and to mature spiritually. The Holy Spirit leads us in understanding as we open up the Scriptures and to begin to look into the Word of God. The Spirit of God creates a supernatural bond and connection between the followers of Jesus as a part of the body of Christ. And the Spirit leads us in living a holy life. He also gives gifts such as wisdom, knowledge, healing for the building up of the church and for the manifestation of his power. We are completely dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the life of our church. If you believe that, say amen. Spirit empowerment. We're halfway there. You still with me? Is this too academic? Number 5. Sharing Jesus. We are committed to sharing the gospel both locally and globally. If you're taking notes, you could write that down. That in one sentence, that's what we are called to do. We are committed to sharing the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, both locally and globally. I think it's great that we have the Shaws here today because this underscores this core value of our church. They represent our global outreach. Again, none of us in this room may ever set foot on Africa, but guess what? We are helping the gospel message go forth to Africa through partnership. The Shaws are an extension of Wenatchee First Assembly in Africa. And through monthly support, we partner with them as they share Jesus, as they build leaders to go out and share Jesus. In all, we support 53 missionaries and ministries, both locally and globally, each month. And that monthly commitment comes to just about over $3,500 a month. Thank you for participating in the offering for the Shaws this morning. But please do not forget about your monthly giving to missions. It's so important because we have missionaries out on the field who we've made commitments to, saying, "You go and we will help you by supporting you financially." Over $3,500 a month. But again, those are local ministries and missions as well. But it only comes as we bond and come together and say, we value sharing Jesus. And we get to be a part of this. One of the joys of last summer, actually just last month, August, was being a part of the VBS that we had here at WFA that we were able to share Jesus with kids all throughout our valley as they came. We had just under 100 kids in attendance. And over 30 of those made a decision to give their hearts to Christ when Pastor Annie gave that opportunity. Sharing Jesus. Pastor Annie and your team did a great job. I'm not going to make you guys stand if you help, but some of you guys are here. Some of you guys donated. You pick up the little pennants. You made the donations for the crafts and for the food and all the things we needed. So that way when those children came here, as they engaged in their groups and fun and games and Bible lessons and stories, it was a collective effort that we were able to provide for our community. And Pastor Annie, I want to just talk with her. Hey, I think we came close to 100. Do you think we could break 100? What if we had 200 kids here next year? Pastor Annie's already said November, she's starting to plan VBS 2026. But here's the thing, friends. These doors are open. Anybody can come. We'll say, come on in. We want people to hear about Jesus. But you know one thing we're going to be intentional about sharing Jesus in our community? We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families less than a half a mile from us, right behind us. In these apartments. How can we engage and love on people right here? How can we? We can. And so God help us to see the vision bigger than ourselves, that we can engage people getting out of our walls and sharing Jesus here. Friends, thank you for all that you've done in helping Jesus be known. Whether we're going around the world to help people find and follow Jesus, or if we're going to just help people experience that right here in Wenatchee, the mission is the same. Doesn't matter where it takes place. We exist to share the name of Jesus, what he has done and who he is, so that people have the opportunity that many of us have had. We're here as testimony, the fact that we've heard the good news of Jesus, and we're here because someone shared Jesus with us. And now we have the privilege and the honor of doing the same in our world. Listen to what Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Friends, we share that same assignment, to share the good news of Jesus. Let's go on to our next core value 6. Authentic community. We were created for relationships and to live in community with others. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. And God unto himself is a community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are created in that image. And then in Genesis chapter 2, it says that it is not good to live life on our own. In God's design, together is better. We were made for community. And when it comes to community within the local church, it's more than just coming and sitting in a chair on Sunday mornings. I'm grateful that you've come and you're sitting in these chairs this morning. But it's more than just church attendance. It's living daily life together, creating a sense of family and mutual dependence with one another. It's encouraging one another in the shared journey of following Jesus. Have you thought about that before? It's a shared journey. Yes, it's a personal journey, but it's a shared journey as well. Jesus is our North Star. We put our eyes on him and we journey towards Jesus. We want everything in our life to be pointed and going towards Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, there are other people who are on that same journey, and we are all heading in the same direction. And along the way, we share that journey, but we can share that encouragement in that community as we go. I can't speak for you, but for me personally, when I've experienced some of the most wonderful joys of my life or some of my deepest sorrows, I have been so glad that I have not had to face those seasons alone, by myself. There's been so many people who know me and know me well, who walk with me either through celebration or through sorrow, who were there, they were the constant. They weren't just surfacey level, right? Facebook says, I have 1,300 friends. That's what Facebook says. But in reality, friends, that's not authentic community, right? At Wenatchee First Assembly, we desire to be a place where people can belong, not just to be seen, but to be known. We want to help people from every generation and background connect with God and with others. This is more than just a social togetherness or shared activities. Now, those things are good, okay? There's nothing wrong with those things, but it's more than those things. It involves hospitality, mutual encouragement, cultivating deep relationships and supporting one another, have a sensing of belonging. When we look at the New Testament, community is seen as life in Christ with other believers. Can I say that again? When you look at the New Testament, community is seen as life in Christ with fellow believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 25. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Is the day of Jesus' return drawing near, friends? I think we see it more and more in every day. And as we see what looks like darkness encroaching, we have the promise that in the last days, his Spirit would also be poured out in fresh measure. So we keep our eyes on Jesus. We look forward to his coming, but then we also be about his business. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. I love this. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. The gospel doesn't simply bring individuals into relationship with God, right? We're not just like a tally mark in heaven where we're just, you know, just little tally marks. Okay, here's one more. We got one more. We got one more. The Bible says that we are born into a spiritual family, and we call that the church or the body of Christ. But the church family isn't simply created for organizational purposes. Every one of us, we have a connection through a shared faith and a shared Savior, who is Christ Jesus. That's what we share, a common faith, a shared faith, and a common Lord, Jesus Christ. That's the reason we exist. And we share this journey with one another as we keep our eyes on Jesus. And we help one another in the journey, in the struggle. When someone is struggling, we're there with them. If they're going through moments of joy, we rejoice with them. I'm so grateful. Over 25 years, you have been that to me and my family. And I've seen you be that one to another. Let Wenatchee First Assembly be a place where authentic community helps drive our fellowship together, but also drive us forward in mission. We are created for relationship and to live in community. Number 7, core value 7, generosity. Everything we have is God's. We are just given what we have been given so that way we can steward it to bless others and to advance his kingdom. It all belongs to him. And this includes our time, our talents, and our resources. This core value centers around the ultimate example of God's generosity in our lives. For God so loved the world that he gave. And then Jesus willingly gave himself up for all mankind. As we grow spiritually, we are becoming more and more like Jesus. And as we become more like Jesus, we also should be growing in our generosity as well. While financial giving, tithing is important, generosity extends beyond that to giving of our time, giving of our talents, and other resources that we have been blessed with. I've been so encouraged to see the generosity of our congregation over the years. From the moment I joined the staff in July of 2000, it was evident that Wenatchee First was a giving church, a generous church. Whether it's giving in a special offering for Convoy of Hope, for disaster relief, when people need it the most, you've been there, you've been generous. Or some of you have been generous with your time volunteering for events like Harvest Fest, which is coming up next month, October 31st. You've given of your time as we have this community outreach, and you've invested yourself that way. Some of you have gifts of music. You've joined our worship team, and you've helped lead our congregation in times of worship, or maybe you have skills of craftsmanship, and you've come and you've served the church, working in parts of the building, being a blessing, so that way we don't have to go and hire out the work necessarily, but say, I can do that. I can be a part of that. And you've been generous with your time and with your talents, supporting the work of God here at Wenatchee First. Friends, we give because we have already received so much from God. We give because we've received. Just for a moment, think about what you have received from the Lord in your life. See, a lot of times we wait until Thanksgiving to ponder and think about these things. But think of how God has been generous in your life. How his blessings have followed you. And we all could stand up this morning and we could pass the mic and you could share about the goodness of God in your life, and that would be worthy testimony of what God has done. We give because we have received so much from God already. Listen, God's generosity is redeeming our lives, and our generosity is bringing the hope of redemption to people here in our valley and around the world. He's redeeming us, and as we reach out to bless others, God will use that to help redeem others into himself. Instead of just doing the bare minimum, we seek to give God our very best, to bless God, to help bless others who need it the most. When we are generous with our time and talents and treasure, it's because people matter to God, and because people matter to God, they matter to us as well. We need to be a generous people. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Hebrews 13:16. And do not forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. And 2 Corinthians 9:7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. You have been a generous church. Continue to be a generous people, friends. And as people come and they become part of our community here at Wenatchee First Assembly, we'll see God use those gifts and those talents and those abilities in amazing ways as God builds his church. But also, he build his kingdom through lives changed and transformed. As we give back to the Lord, we've received so much. Number 8, this is our last one. Are you with me? Final core value, compassion. Compassion. We believe in reflecting the heart of Christ through compassion and through compassionate ministry. Jesus showed mercy to the hurting, to the outcast, to the lost. And we are called to serve and love one another through empathy and kindness and action. Part of helping people find and follow Jesus is loving others. The Great Commission says to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then Jesus told us the parable of the Good Samaritan, what that looks like. But Jesus didn't just tell stories of compassion. He lived it firsthand in his ministry. He shows us what compassion looks like as he healed the sick. When there was no other remedy, there was no medicine, there was no doctor that could help people. They had a fully dependent for a miracle. God, through Jesus, brought that miracle into their lives. And through compassion, he healed the sick and the infirmed. He fed the hungry. He welcomed the sinners to come to him. He embraced the children. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus teaches us that acts of kindness to the least of these are actually acts unto him, highlighting the dignity of every single person who is made in the image of God. Listen, Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 35. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Thank you to everyone who's ever participated in our Serve Wenatchee food drive. We do those every so often. We'll have the containers out, and you've given food so that way Serve Wenatchee can stock the shelves at their fresh market to bless people in our valley when they need it most. Thank you for everyone who's ever been a part of Packing Friendships. Weekly, during the school year, we have lunches or meals that are really packed for a weekend. See, some of our kids in our community, they have meals at school Monday through Friday, breakfast and lunch, but when they go home on the weekends, they're not guaranteed to have food at home. And so one of the things that we are honored to participate in is Packing Friendships, where these bags are put together, and on the last day of school, those kids take those bags home, and they have something to carry them through the weekend until they get back to school on Monday. Friends, we get to be a tangible expression of God's love. Thank you for people who've served or given. Sometimes people give to Packing Friendship. It's one of the ministries here at Wenatchee First, a ministry of compassion. Thank you for those who've shown compassion when you've volunteered to come and help at a funeral, provide a meal for a family in their time of grief. In that grief ministry while you're there, you think you're just putting together a meal. You are doing so much more than that. One of the greatest things I've ever experienced in my life was after my father passed away. We were on the west side. The funeral was at a church in Renton. And we were there, and we had no idea how many people were going to be at my dad's memorial service. And they estimated about 400 people were there. And the church said, hey, we want to provide, you know, a meal for afterwards. And we're thinking, oh, you know, just something real simple. They poured out the red carpet. I mean, they served over 400 people an entire meal. And they ministered. I thought, Lord, what a blessing. And as our family was walking through grief, we just got to see the way that the church of God was compassionate and blessing people. Some people drove from out of state that day to come and be there. Just provide, just a meal, a cup of cold water, right? All these things to honor Jesus. Thank you for people who've served in compassion ministry in those ways. Thank you for giving to benevolence. That kingdom work, that, and when you give in your offerings at times, and we are able to take that and we're able to help people in our valley, maybe it's with a utility bill that they can't pay and they might have their electricity turned off, or sometimes it's just helping put a little bit of gas in their car so that way they can make it to work that week, or maybe it's with some clothing because they don't have any resources that way, or again, food. You've given through benevolence, but you've been the hands and the feet to the people right here in Wenatchee. And when everyone comes in for benevolence, they call or they come in, we always want to take that opportunity to pray with them and share the hope of Jesus with them at the same time. Because it's done in Jesus' name. It's not done in the name of Wenatchee First Assembly. It's done in the name of Jesus. And we would not be able to help people and be there to help them in those moments if it wasn't for you. So thank you when you've taken time to show compassion through gifts in that way. Wrap up with this, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm going to ask the worship team to come out and prepare to just lead us in a song. And the application this morning, I want to take the moment just to share a couple things. And then we're gonna worship together. But friends, these core values, these eight things that we're talking about this morning, these are the beliefs and the guiding principles that lead us in our decision making, and they build our culture of ministry here at Wenatchee First. They shape our identity and they keep us in alignment with God's will. It keeps us in alignment to the mission and the vision that God has given us. So I'm going to ask you to do something. For the next 8 days, starting today, so it'll go through next Sunday, I want you to take this list of these eight core values on the handout there this morning, and I want you to take each one of those in order one day at a time, and I want you to consider how each one of those core values line up in your life. How do they line up in you? What roles do they play in your faith and in your process of following Jesus? Because as a church, we're looking at who we are and what we are becoming. But it begins with us individually first. So these core values, they need to be core values of who we are individually before it can be as a corporate body. So would you do that this week? Each day, each one of those core values, how do those things, what role do they play in your life individually? How do they affect you as a Jesus follower? And then next week, we're going to talk about our core beliefs. And we're going to have some baptisms as a part of our morning service next week. We have a couple of people who are going to be baptized in water. We'll have another baptism service in October that we're going to open up to others who might want to be baptized. But friends, God is on the move, not only in our lives, but he's at the move in this valley. And we want to be in step where Jesus is taking us. Where he leads, we want to follow, but we want to follow surrendered to his will and to his ways. We pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be established in us individually and in the life of our church. That's why we exist. Would you stand with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a sure foundation. At a time in our lives, we were on sinking sand. We were dead in our transgressions and in our sin. There was no hope, but you provided a way that we could know you personally through a relationship that was bought with the blood of Jesus, that we could be redeemed of our sins, that we could be purified, given a hope and a future in you. And Lord, this morning as a congregation, as you're leading us forward in this new chapter, in this new season, I pray, God, that we would be a people after God's own heart in all things. I pray, God, that as we engage your spirit and as we engage who you are, and as we pattern our lives after you, and as we hold on to the truth of the written word and the revealed word, God, that we will be in step with the things you want to do in this valley and around the world. I pray, Father, that you would be at the center of each individual life, the center of each family. You'll be the center of every ministry. Everything we put our hands to, God, we want it to be of you. May your agenda be forwarded in the lives of us and in this church. May you receive glory, God. We commit ourselves, body, mind, and spirit, to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.